Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contaminated.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We are certainly looking forward to tonight's broadcast, but we say that every week. thank you all for joining us. I want to encourage you just for a moment to go to my website, drjessewalker.com. We are doing some exciting things over there, drjessewalker.com. We're doing a lot of exciting things over there, and I want you to be a part of that. We've got a brand new business that's out there now. It's called Dr. Jesse Walker Senior Vice, which stands for Dr. Jesse Walker Senior Virtual International Center for Character Education. And so you can find out, just go to the website, drjessewalker.com, click on Center for Character Education. It'll give you everything that you need to know. If you or someone that you know has a, we have seven levels that we deal with. If you have a child or someone that you know has a child in the ages, age groups of second grade through 12th grade, we have a program exclusively designed for them that builds and deals with character education building. So we welcome you to go there and check out the website. I am confident that you will like what you see. It's $19.95 a month. That's why people can spend hundreds of dollars on shoes for their children. But what about investing $19.95 into your child's character, which is basically the only thing that we leave here with, is, you know, what was the character like? So check it out. Go to Center for Character Education, and you can also review one of my other little areas called Terrence's Story. Terrence, the name Terrence. Terrence's Story. Check it out. You can do everything that you need to. You can place your order right there online, and I'm certain that you will not regret it. My co-host will be joining us this week, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. We anticipate her being on the air momentarily. I also want to thank all of you all that have listened throughout 2015. That's right, we're into a brand new year. I want to say Happy New Year to all of you all that stayed with us, and we're coming up on 7 years on the air. May will actually mark 7 years on the air, and lots of good things have happened to us. We have just over 97,000 people that tune in to this broadcast on a weekly basis. So I want to just say, you know, I am very grateful to God for allowing me to have, you know, had such a successful radio program for the last 6.5 years, coming up on 7 years. And I want to just say Happy New Year to all of you all that from around the world that have been tuning in. And it's not that we're going anywhere. We certainly do continue to look forward to bringing you great programming each and every week. And, of course, if you have a show topic that you have that's of interest, by all means, we're going to ask that you please let us know what that show topic is, and we will be more than happy to accommodate you. There are times when we spend, that we go solo on the air, and that's by design, so that we can just kind of bring you some information and some thoughts that we feel are definitely beneficial to you. So we do that on occasion, and I hope that you're not offended by that when you're not able to get in. All right, you're listening once again live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. we have, like I said, a number of things that I want you to look at the website for all of my services, products, and browse that and go ahead and place your order for anything that you may be of interest, that may be of interest to you. If you're just joining us, your first-time caller, we certainly welcome that as well, or a first-time listener, we certainly welcome that as well. And, of course, you're able to make your contribution to tonight's topic, which just before we get to tonight's topic, I'm going to just reiterate some of our past shows that we've done. We recently did the show on making and breaking New Year's resolutions. We did that show on last week, making and breaking New Year's resolutions. And we talked about that, how a lot of people, there's still a lot of people that are making New Year's resolutions, and for some reason or whatever reason, they seem to break them after about a month or two. So you can always go back into the archives and listen to that show. Listen to it carefully and find out if you're one of those people. And then you have people who pretty much substitute the word making New Year, or the phrase making New Year's resolutions, and they pretty much go with just setting goals. They don't see it as much different than setting goals. And as a matter of fact, they talk heavily about the need for setting goals as opposed to setting New Year's resolutions, because they feel goals are something that are more attainable. You know, New Year's resolutions kind of becomes on the infringement of lifetime goals that they've got to make. All right, just before we go into any more of our past shows and come to tonight's topic, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. Ms. Blake, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. I've been listening to all the interesting things that are going to be happening, and hopefully you're doing well.
Well, certainly we are, and I trust that you are as well. Why don't you go ahead and give out your commercial at this time?
Sure. Again, I'm Audrey Blake, also known as Audrey B., your professional life coach. I offer life coaching services that are confidential and reasonably priced, and I do it by phone, Skype, FaceTime, from anywhere in the continental U.S. If you'd like to, you know, have a new life coach, it's the beginning of the year, and I know people are making goals and some make resolutions, well, feel free to give me a call. My direct line is 770-866-2162. Again, that's 770-866-2162. Or you can visit the website yourprofessionallifecoach.com. Also, I'm the author of a few books, and if you want to go on Amazon and Google Audrey Blake and Falling in Love with Me, you will find my first and second edition of my books. And that's basically it. I am available for speaking engagements and workshops and all of that. You can contact me preferably by phone, 770-866-2162.
Oh, okay. All right. Ms. Blake, give us your thoughts. We're just reiterating some of our past shows here before we go to before we go to tonight's broadcast. So let me know what your thoughts were on, remember last week's show, making and breaking New Year's resolutions. So if you want to throw in a tidbit on that, and then we'll get to tonight's topic after we touch on a couple of others. We'll get to tonight's topic. I cheated on my spouse. The guilt, should I tell him or her? And so go ahead and give us your thought.
Well, I'm one that prescribes to the philosophy of setting goals instead of resolutions. Goals are basically something to attain, and I think a life that's driven by a goal is a life that is destined for success. So the new year is a good time to review your goals. I know we talked a little bit about how spouses sometimes set joint goals together, and that has been beneficial to them. I remember commenting that a spouse, if they have a goal that's set together, two spouses, then it also is important as well for individuals to set a goal, but the marriage goals will help determine some of the individual goals because you don't want to be in conflict with each other with your goal setting. You know, but we talk about SMART goals that are specific, measurable, realistic, time-sensitive. Those are ways that you measure yourself. And the other last thing is just to know that you could always reset your goal midstream. You don't have to keep the bar where it is, but you do need to have a bar to attain to.
Okay. All right. Great. Just before we go to tonight's topic, we're going to just quickly touch on one of the other shows that we've done. And you recall the show, Who is More Forgiving, Men or Women? That was a very conflicting show that night. You remember that? I mean, it got very heated.
I do.
All of these shows, for those of you all that are listening, you can go into the archives and pick up on any of these shows that we've covered. And it seemed, you know, we could not come to an agreement on who was more forgiving, men or women. And of course, we may have concluded, agreed to disagree, that it depends, of course, on the circumstances and the individuals involved. But, you know, now that we're off the air, I mean, we're still on the air, but now we're aside from that show. Depends on the situation, but in most cases, if it's a situation where there's been some infidelity going on, then I would speculate to say that women are probably more forgiving, because I don't think the men could handle it as well as women. What are your thoughts, Ms. Blake?
Well, on that point, we absolutely are in agreement. And my reason for taking that men were less forgiving and that women are more forgiving, because of talking with men that have told me that they could just not handle infidelity in their relationships, that somehow once they knew that the person they love had been intimate with someone else, they couldn't handle it. You also had the men who just couldn't even handle it if they knew their significant other had ever been with anybody else, ever. So that's quite a difference. So I've heard that from men themselves that say, we couldn't forgive, that we just couldn't get past that if it happened to us.
Right. You know, they absolutely have said that. All right. Just to touch quickly on a couple of other shows, and then we will get right to tonight's broadcast. One of the shows we've done was, do parents sometimes get it wrong? And, I mean, I'm clearly here to tell you, because we're all human, everybody can get it wrong once in a while. So sometimes you have individuals, children who are over age, that are adults, that sometimes they still go to their parents for advice. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I believe that, you know, depends on, of course, the age group and the maturity of the child that's an adult. I think a lot of our answers are intrinsic. They're really inside of us. Now, it depends, of course, on the circumstances and what information is required or advice is required. That always plays a role or a factor in the equation. But I think that certainly because of the human element, parents do sometimes get it wrong. And you'd be surprised, more often than not, parents can get it wrong. So pay close attention to that and know that parents can get it wrong. And, you know, I think that sometimes you got to go outside of your parents to find certain answers that you may be looking for. I think that's always a good starting point. You know, depends on the circumstance and what advice it is that you're seeking from your parent. I think that that's always a good starting point. But I would say, even with that starting point, that you need to, you know, go beyond your parents for the answers. Because I'm thinking, for example, if you're, let's say, 13 or 14, and your father is a sports fanatic, but he's 50 years of age, and he may have participated in sports as a quarterback. You're 14 and he's 50. All right, obviously, he was 35 when you were born or thereabouts. Now, at 50, there's not a good chance that he can throw the football like he was able to throw the football when he was much younger, of course. So, you know, there are certain things that maybe he can teach you, but then there's also some things that you got to go to another coach for that next level that your father may not be able to do. And same thing with the mother, depends on the circumstance, of course. Ms. Blake, what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely agree. That's an excellent example. And another example that came to mind, particularly with adult children who you know, the other source, they really need to look to God for guidance in their lives. You may have parents who don't want their children to venture far away from the vicinity of their hometown. And yet that child may be led to greatness around the world is their destiny. And they have to be able to take that leap. And sometimes a parent will try to discourage that because of their own desires to have their children close by. So, again, you know, definitely I think parents can sometimes be wrong. We do certainly as parents have great insight, but sometimes we do try to live out our dreams through our children, or we can be a little selfish unknowingly, wanting our children to stay close to us when they really need to be able to spread their wings and serve their purpose in the world.
Okay. All right. So parents do sometimes get it wrong, and just like because of the human factor, and we're on the same page with that. All right. Was there, just before we go to tonight's topic, was there one topic that you may have thought about, Ms. Blake, that we may, you know, that you wanted to bring to the forefront?
Well, you know, I'm always talking about the gift of goodbye, and I do want to let our listening audience know that I am pro-relationships. I love relationships. I love marriage. But there are some unhealthy relationships sometimes that people should not linger in, and it's not just the mental and physical abusive type relationships. I mean, there are sometimes when it's a very one-sided thing, when the one person is very much in love and the other person is very much just using the person that's in love with them. And I think that people have to value themselves enough to give the gift of goodbye and be able to walk away in some instances.
You know, and oftentimes, it's like, and it's interesting that you say that, and we've seemed to, many of us seem to feel that that phrase has been coined by you, and we often say it on the radio show, you know, give the gift of goodbye, and people will come back and cite you on it or quote you on it. Because I, too, agree that if you're spending your bills in a relationship, particularly, I mean, my rule of thumb is if you're going through the same thing over and over for 3 years, you're likely to be going through that same thing in 30 years. So, you know, you figure that one out. You know, do you want to stay there? All right, you're listening to Lives of Dr. Jess Walk Show. We're going to get right into tonight's story. Tonight's story deals with I cheated on my spouse. The guilt. Should I tell him or her? I cheated on my spouse. Should I tell him or her? All right, and of course, if you want to chime in at any point in time, we encourage you to go right to tonight's story or press 1 on your dial. Yelsey, to spell Y-E-L-S-Y, and Xavier. Yelsey and Xavier, they're faced actually with a serious dilemma in their 14th year of marriage. Yelsey recently found out that Xavier had an affair that lasted for 3 years with a one-time good friend of hers, and I think that's worth repeating. She just found this out recently, that her husband, Xavier, had an affair that lasted for 3 years with a one-time good friend, and of course, obviously, she's not a good friend now, with a one-time good friend of hers. Xavier recently confessed to the news because the guilt over the years had actually been eating at him so much that he could not take it any longer. He broke up with the woman just over 6 months ago, because he simply wanted out of the relationship and wanted to be more faithful to his wife. The woman at the time threatened to tell his wife if he left her, which may have actually been a contributing factor in Xavier stepping forward to the confession. He took a chance anyway, knowing that he loves his wife, and his wife believes in him, and she also loves him. This news has clearly upset her and has left her in a dilemma and not knowing whether to stay or to leave. She has not been able to be intimate with him since he told her the news, which is also affecting his biological needs. And this has been for the last 6 months. She has not been affectionate with him or intimate with him. The question is, Blake, that I start off with tonight, you know, we're looking for the short answer. You know, should she leave or should she stay? You know, and that brings us to tonight's topic. I cheated on my spouse, the guilt. Should I tell him or her? And this is obviously what happened to Xavier. He just couldn't live with it anymore. What do you think, Ms. Blake?
Wow, that's an interesting dilemma. So the question is, should she stay? Is that really the question?
Yes, should she leave? Yeah, should she leave or should she stay? I mean,
it
you
depends
know, that's
on how she feels. Yeah, it depends on how she feels. This is not a definitive answer in that instance. Because I know of people, well, I've personally been one of those persons on, honestly, both sides of the fence. And I remember saying, oh, my husband had one time to cheat on me and I'm gone. But, you know,
right.
only that individual knows the love they have in their heart for another person. And they only know, you know, how much work they want to put into the relationship and how much time. And what I am hearing is that he seems to be ending things and has a conscience. So there is some hope. It's not like he's just like, well, I don't love you no more, and this is why I'm with that other person. That's a different situation than I did this, I'm sorry, I'm going to leave her alone. So that decision is really going to be up to her if she is able to forgive him and move on and want to work hard to rebuild the trust.
Okay. Now, you know, I certainly understand and hear what you're saying. And those are key factors if she can certainly forgive him and build a trust and move on. I mean, those are the paramount thoughts. And that's difficult, perhaps, to do, you know, if they can forgive him or her and, you know, move on with that relationship and build that trust. But that's probably easier said than done. Now, if I'm asked the question, should she leave or should she stay? And I, too, would have to say, look at all the circumstances. The fact that she's still there after 6 months, even though she hasn't been affectionate or intimate with him, you know, it sends a message that she still does love and care about him, and she's just angry right now, and she's going through something. I mean, she's in this reality stage right now in state. And so it's going to hurt. But now I would say if she's going to badger him, you know, or if it's reversed, he's going to badger her, where, you know, you're going to refrain from being intimate with them for some time. You know, you're going to go a long period of time, and then it would appear that not only are you going a long period of time, but you're also having it where you just, every time you turn around, they're hitting you upside the head with this, that what you did to me, what you did to me. Then I would say if you can't do like you said, forgive. Forgiveness is not really repeating the thing over and 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 over again. But if you know, she can truly forgive and find a way to build the trust, because he did come forth with her. And then, you know, so they can move on. But if she can't do that, or if it's reversed and he can't do that, then I would probably think that it's best to leave. That it's best to leave. You know, because yeah, because either way it's going to hurt. If you stay and you love them, it's going to hurt. If you can't, you know, move past that. If you leave and you can't live past that, go past that, it's going to hurt also, because down the road you'll probably reflect on what it was that you had in that relationship, and then he came. See, you know, when we act on emotion right away, and even though it's been 6 months for her, it's still an emotional trauma that she's experiencing. And so that emotion can linger for sometimes years, and it's going to affect the relationship one way or the other. And then people decide to bail out. And I know I'm going on and on, but this is important, I think. You know, they bail, they leave. And then later they're still mad. They're still hurting. They're still encountering this emotion. And then they're going to, you know, look back and say, you know, but then they'll start to get better. And then they may look back and say, you know what, I probably could have done something differently then. I probably could have worked that out some kind of way, as opposed to, you know, leaving my marriage or giving up on my marriage.
Right.
Let's go to the phone line, Blake. But let me hear your thoughts real quick in response to that.
Yeah, because I was going to say I'll probably have a lot to say tonight, because I know both sides of that. One of the things, I know a couple, and it wasn't my situation, but I do know a couple that had some infidelity, that someone performed an act on their husband, and they stayed together. But the thing I had to say to her, because she was always throwing it up in his face, I was like, look, if you're going to be with that man, you need to be with him. You don't need to bring it up every 5 minutes. If you're going to leave him, then leave him. Because, and the other thing, the withholding of sex, you know, as I'm older now, I have such a different perspective on that. You know, that can contribute to him going out and having an affair all over again. It doesn't justify it, but it can become a vicious cycle. She doesn't want to be with him because he's been unfaithful, but then he's, like, so tired not having intimacy, so he's easily lured somewhere else. So those are things that couples have to take into account.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's just stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines. We've got a number of people waiting. The first call we're going to take is 205-908. Then we're going to go to 305-303. Let's go to 205-908. Welcome to the show this evening.
Good evening. This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back.
Hi, Jack.
Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, this is a pretty interesting one you got tonight. And you guys have basically said just about everything that basically could be said when it comes to someone cheating and then after the fact that he had this guilt all over him, so he confessed. Now, your question was, should she leave or should she stay? And both of you guys have, I like what both of you said, and I think that's basically what it should be. But I'm looking at it from an angle that no one can tell you how long you can grieve or how long you can be hurt over this situation. So if you're hurting, you let that spouse know. And then also, the only thing that you guys didn't say was that did they sit down and have a man-to-woman talk about, you know, how did he actually feel about this woman? Does he really want to be with her? I mean, even though he's left her and he gave her up, but is your heart still there? You can be away from somebody, but your heart or your mind can still be there. So I think if they were to sit down, this could help her get a move to the next level or move past that. They sit down, they iron it out, and then in that conversation, some kind of way, somebody's going to have to bring up that once we discuss this, if we, whatever we decide to do, we're not going to look back in hindsight. We're just going to move past that, and that's it. So you're not going to badger me and hound me about what happened and all of that, and then you're going to hold back from me and all of that. But once we sit down and lay all the irons on the table, everything out on the table and all, then we can move past that. But I'm still hurting, though. So let me get to the point where I want to get back with you because I got to reestablish that trust that I had in you from the beginning. So that's the only thing that I'm adding to what you all said. Everything that you all said was fine, but sit down and having a conversation about where do they go from here, and is his mind still there with Yasmin or whatever her name was? Is his mind still there? But if not, then let's see if we can work this out because we don't talk about God, but God is always in the picture. And he's a forgiving God. So if God can forgive us, we ought to learn how to forgive one another. But we move past that and then let the chips fall where they may.
Okay, Jack, and I think that that's an interesting perspective. And I would go on to say, you know, it's so subjective that, you know, you begin to wonder if his wife's name is Yelsey, the other woman, you wonder, I mean, you really don't know if the you know, you really don't know if his mind is on that woman. I mean, we can only speculate here because he did decide to let the relationship go. He made that decision to let the relationship go, even though the other woman threatened to tell his wife, and which may have also expedited it, you know, his contribution to the confession. But I think that, I can't speak for everybody else or anyone for that matter, but I believe, and this is just my opinion, that sometimes when people, they have been involved with somebody, you know, and then they may be catching a hard time once in a while from their significant other, they tend to reflect back on how nice it was, even after you've left that relationship for, you know, you know, a while, you know, it could be 2 or 3 months. And then it's like, wow, you know, that girl wasn't that bad. She was kind of nice. You know, we had some good times, you know. Because sneaking seems to be fun, but there's always the consequences to it. Jack, give me your response to that, and Ms. Blake, and then we'll go to 305-303.
Yeah. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, that's basically what I can say right to that because, yeah, it may seem like the grass is green on the other side, but when you're in that situation, you're sleeping with her every single night, you're waking up to her every night, it could be all host of a different color when you're going through that situation. But looking from the outside, because from the outside it may seem like it's a peaches of cream and everything. Man, it was so good because, you know, I'm going there every now and then. But when you got to be there every single night, you're waking up to her and she's waking up to you, and then you guys seem like you get on each other's nerve, on each other's last nerve and all that. That's a different story. But when you've been with your wife for those 14 years, you know all the ins about her, and then you cheated out on her, and you went out on her and cheated, and then now she's trying to work things out and trying to give you an off. No, you got to look at the whole picture. You can't just say the grass is greener on the other side.
All right, let's Blake, give us your thoughts, and then we'll move on.
And I do have mixed feelings. I do agree with Jack with everything you said, particularly sitting down and working it out. But the other thing to take into account in this day of public health and what we call STIs or sexually transmitted infections, you know, there are so many people that get permanently infected, you know, be it HIV, AIDS, or herpes, that something that they can never get rid of, and they were a faithful spouse. So those are also things to take into account. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to leave now before he messes around bringing me something I can't get rid of.
All right. And that is so, that's sometimes what people don't be thinking about, and you're absolutely right. Let's go to the phone lines once again, 305-303. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hello, Dr. Walker. You know this voice. Do not call my name.
How are
you?
All right. I'm fine. How are you? Well, give us an alias name.
Right. I have walked that road. And I'm going to take it I'm going to take it from a spiritual standpoint. When my spouse came to me, I knew something was wrong, because when you really know your spouse, you can tell that agony was going on and they were not them. He was not himself. And you feel when something is wrong, especially when you've been married for many years. And when he came to me and he confessed, it was one of the hardest things I have ever been through, because he was the first I ever knew. So when you only know one person and you save yourself for your spouse and they cheat on you, that stuff hurt. But I had to look into myself from a spiritual standpoint and turn to God and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. And for him to know that he can lose everything by just coming to me, and he was willing to give up everything just so he can tell me the truth. You know, as far as intimacy, listen, you have to heal. Like Jack say, you have to heal. He put me through something, so he had to go through that situation with me so that I can heal. And I know God, and we had a spiritual relationship with God. And I know that in order for God to forgive me, I had to forgive him. And I loved him. And he went to the preacher before he came to me and confessed to the preacher and said, listen, I did something wrong. I stepped out. Sin is very sweet. When you're in the middle of a sin, you don't think about it. And like Jack said, you come home every night and you look at your innocent wife in the bed. But if you have a conscience, that thing will make you sick. And I saw my husband going. I kept saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you this? Why are you acting like this? Why are you doing that? And, you know, I couldn't put my hand on what he did, but I knew something was wrong. And I'm telling you, when you go past that, your relationship ends up being stronger than it was before. Because there's power in God, because he can. I told him I didn't even want to know who it was. That was not important to me. Because I wanted my relationship to work. I've been in a family where my parents have been married over 50 years. I don't know, when I went to that altar, I went there until death.
That's right.
And my thing is, I want God to forgive me. I'm not perfect. I sin every day. The Bible says if you look at a man in a desirable way, you have committed adultery.
That's right.
So I have looked at people and imagined, okay, but I didn't do the physical. And I think sometimes we look at the physical sin different from the sin of the mind. And you have to put yourself in that shoe. And for him to come to me knowing that I had the attitude, and I used to say it all the time, if you cheat, you might as well just consider everything over. But then you have children. Do you want your children to grow up in a home without a father when you know you are who you are because of the stability you had in your life? So it's both sides. Tell your spouse. Guilt will kill you. Guilt will give you high blood pressure and all this stuff. It's either that person for them to be, and you, like I said, if you know your spouse and you know that this person coming to you and they're genuine, you know when they're lying because their actions speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see after he told me, it was like a new man. And he was like, I'm willing to walk away if that's what it takes, but I have to get this off my chest because I wrong you. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just ask you, we'll call you Miss Elias, Miss Elias. Let me ask you this, Miss Elias, did you badger him for a long period of time? Did you refrain from being intimate with him for a long period of time?
Yes, I didn't badger him. I refrained from intimacy because you are so hurt that the intimacy, something happens to you. You shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You shut down. Okay. And what you try to do is start to date again to try to bring that stuff back. But I had to go into counseling and prayer and stuff like that to bring us back together. But it came back better.
It came back better. Okay, Ms. Elias, let me ask you this. How long would you say that you refrained from being with him? And, I want to ask
Six
you,
months?
This is a two-part question. 6 months?
6 months. 6 months.
And that's kind of uncommon for a man to be able to hold out for 6 months.
I'm about to say 6 months.
I'm
trying to figure out what he did. Yeah, I'm keeping it real.
Let me tell you something.
I'm going to keep it real, too. I want to keep it real. I'm going to say this.
Okay, let's just keep it real right here now. Okay. That man be climbing walls. Go ahead.
Let me
give you a chance.
I was messed up. I'm just sorry. I was just messed up. I could not function. But he was willing to go through it with me.
Okay.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If you had a wife who was in the hospital sick for 6 months, then you have, what do you do?
You mean that, right? All right. Listen to this part. It was the same thing. I would have to wait. But here,
right.
I'm with you on that now because if I really love you and I felt so guilty because, like you said, that would give you high blood pressure and all that other stuff. So I want to come out with it now. First of all, I've confessed to God. And then I need to come and confess to my wife that I've sinned. I'm talking about my fault, mm-hmm. not my sin. I confess my sin to God, but I confess my fault to my significant other. So once I've done that, then, like you said, I call you Jack. What you said, Doc, you said that we have to suffer the consequences, so the consequences are there. So if my wife's going to hold out for me 6 months, that's why I said you don't know how long this grieving part is. No one can tell you how long to grieve. So therefore, if it's 6 months and I'm not accustomed to that, if I really love her, I would wait. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And I wasn't holding out. The problem is I tried, but it's like your body.
Okay,
you
sit down. Okay.
All right. Stand by, Miss Elias. We're gonna ask you to stand by, Miss Blake. Let's bring you in, and then we're gonna go to 786-541, and then that'll be followed by 786-985. Please hold your call. Thank you for your patience. Go ahead, Miss Blake.
Yeah, I do appreciate our callers sharing that information. Many of us women have gone through that. Like I said, I know it from both sides very well. I could write a couple of books, so I get it. It does cause you to shut down. But, you know, I was just keeping it real, so I don't want to make her think that we were attacking her in any way. But I also know men, you know, and that's why I keep it real. So, you know, I believe he was faithful and he, like Jack said, you endure the consequences. But y'all have to do something. I'm going to just leave it like that because I'm real. I'm real. And we need to stop pretending, you know.
I understand. I'm going to bring you back with some real, Ms. Blazer. You know I'm about to take the gloves off. But let me go to, let's go to 786-541. They've been holding for a long time. 786-541, thank you for joining us. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, Ms. Blake.
Hi.
Hi,
welcome
everyone.
To the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Who do we have?
We have Michelle.
Michelle, thank you for joining us. Michelle, what are your thoughts on this?
Everything everyone said, I pretty much agree with. Ms. Blake made some great points. Your caller that you just had, she said that she had gone through the experience and she described what it's like. And I have been through the experience as well. And when she says that it's a hurting thing, let me tell you, you will not know until you ever go through it. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of women out there. I've had friends of mine who have, even friends when I was sharing what I was going through, and you should leave him, this, that, and the other. Guess what? I have some of those same friends going through the same thing right now, and they're not leaving, because when you love and you love with all of your heart, you know, you want to make it work. All I would advise is that anyone who is going through it, that you make sure you get some type of counseling, because it will shut you down, just like she said. 6 months, I mean, that is very realistic. And she said that her relationship came back stronger, and thank goodness mine did too. But it was a struggle, and it was not a struggle for 6 months. It was a struggle for some years for us, because just getting back on track, you know, it's hurtful. And we did not go through counseling, you know, at different parts in time. We did go through counseling, but really from the beginning, when we had that conversation, like Jack said, and we talked about it, we should have decided that if we were going to make it work, you know, to go to counseling and stick with it. Hindsight is 20/20, and you don't know how to deal with these things when they come down on you. But I think that's the best thing, because you go through such a range of emotions. You know, you're sad, then you're angry, then you're hurt, and it's just, it takes you through the ringer. So.
Well, I think that is interesting, Michelle. We're going to ask you to stand by. And are you saying that you have friends that can say it from the outside looking in, but then when it happens to them, it's a matter of difference? Is that what we're hearing you saying as well, Michelle?
Yeah, I've learned over the years, you know, to keep my business kind of to myself when it comes to certain things. And I, you know, really don't listen to other people, because it's so easy to give advice. But when you haven't walked in someone's shoes and you don't know what people are going through, sometimes it's better for you just to, you know, let someone get something off their chest. And you really shouldn't offer advice if you haven't experienced those things, because, you know, you may given the wrong answer, you know. And then when you go through, especially, you know, years later, now you're going through the same thing, and she's handling it in much the same way that I did, you know. But if I would have listened to her, I would be alone, you know. So
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is forgiveness out there. There is forgiveness out there. Let me go to, we're going to ask all of my callers, thank you all so very much. We've got a number of you all we're trying to get to this evening. And we also want to be able to take some of the comments that have floodgated the industry tonight. Let's go to 786-985. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
This is Ms. X.
Ms. X, thank you for joining us. Ms. X, what do you think, Ms. X? I mean, isn't cheating the way of the world now? Isn't that the way that people do it? I mean, is there a perfect relationship or marriage out there that hasn't cheated?
I don't know that monogamy.
Monogamy. Monogamy.
Monopoly on not being monogamous. The thing is, it takes a very strong individual to be able to forgive and forget in that regard. I'm not saying that the person who can't forgive and forget is not strong either. I'm almost like, I think it was Ms. Blake who said, I think it's an individual thing, because the lies and the deceit run so rampant within you, you know. It's almost as if though you don't know if you'll ever be able to trust that individual again. The thought of, you know, you don't even know whom it is that your spouse or significant other is out there running around with. You don't even know if it's one partner, multiple partners. And again, like someone mentioned earlier, you know, the diseases, the herpes, the AIDS, see, all of that stuff
right.
that's out there, chlamydia. You know, even
right.
if you wanted to forgive and accept that person back, now you've got to wonder, because some of this stuff doesn't show up in a couple of days. Sometimes it takes
right.
a couple of years, and then you find out you're infected. So, you know, I think that sometimes, I don't know, for me, it is probably better to just be without than to be wondering about potential destruction down the road as a result of. I really don't
okay.
have the answer. I'm not everybody.
Right.
I'm just me.
Right.
But it is an individual choice.
Right. But let me ask you this, Ms. X. Let me ask you this, because you brought something very important that that was presented earlier, and we heard Ms. Blake talk about the STDs and so forth and so on. But let's just say in the case with Yelsey and Xavier, I mean, by the time she discovers that she's got something, she's probably already got it, and they've had unprotected sex anyway. So now, and Ms. Elias, I want you to hear this, because now it's coming to you, and it's going to be there anyway. So whether you, and certain ones are not going to show, certain diseases are not going to show up in a couple of days, like you said, but it's going to show up down the road. But you have already engaged with that person, and so what's the point? What's the difference? And Ms. Michelle, I want you to contribute to that as well. Jack, bring your thoughts in. Let's go to Ms. X real quick for the rebuttal.
Yeah, the point is you've already forgiven this person, and now you've tried to rebuild that relationship to only have it crumble and fall apart again, and to find out that you've got some kind of incurable or STD, I mean, that's just going to really, I don't know, that's just going to make you fall, crash. I don't even know the word.
I understand. That's how powerful
exactly.
it is. That's how painful it can be.
Now,
let me stop right there. Let's bring in, let's go with Ms. Blake. Come in quickly, and then we'll go to Jack, get his thoughts, and then we'll go to Michelle.
Well, we can keep going. I mean, the bottom line is there are instances where people find the best solution is to leave. But let's see what
okay.
the other comments are saying.
All right, Jack, let's bring you in, then we're going to go to, and then we'll go to Michelle and then Ms. Elias. Jack, what are your thoughts?
Well, on that situation, as you guys have said, as they both have sat down and talked about it and everything. See, that's why I said we have to put God in the picture some kind of way. Now, God would give you discernment. If you prayed about it time and time again, I'm talking about the one that's been hurt, and also the one, the perpetrator as well. You both have prayed about it and all, and then you're going to sit down and talk about it and say, God, let's say you've given her the STD or whatever, and then she finds out maybe 3 or 4 months down the line. I mean, is at that point where you decide, now this is really a test of your faith. You have to decide at that point whether you're going to stay with him, because you're already infected. You are already
mm-hmm.
infected with the disease and everything. So it's up to you at that point if you prayed about it and the Lord is leading you in that direction or not, or leading you to go in another direction. So that's how I see it.
I see. All right, Ms. X, and I kind of see it, you know, slightly like, wow, you know, I'm already here. This already happened. Wow, that is rather deep. Let's go to Michelle, I believe it is. Michelle, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Michelle, what do you think of that? I mean, here it is. What's the point? What is really the point? You know, if you've already had the intimacy with them when they finally come and they confess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then you may find out later that you got something that's incurable. So now that frustration that you originally were, and Ms. Elias, we're going to come to you in a moment. Now that just you think your blood pressure was high then. I mean, you probably got to go on something that they don't have anything to bring that blood pressure down at all, because the brain's trying to come out of the head now. What do you think, Michelle?
Like Ms. Blake has said several times before, I think, you know, these are all very individual decisions. And it just depends. I mean, everybody is different. Some people have tolerance. Some women don't tolerate cheating at all. And you know, if a man, if their husband would come to them, they'd walk away the first time. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And then, you know, other people will forgive. It's a very subjective and personal and individual decision. That's all I have to say about that.
Right. We're going to have somebody sounds like they may be washing dishes in the background. So the studio picks up every sound. It might be some cats or dogs lying around.
Let me give you my comment.
I'm
coming from the spiritual standpoint.
Okay, good.
Even if he didn't have sin in him, he did not have the disease. Okay, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at his soul. I believe if my husband leave me and I leave him for adultery, he can't marry no more. He already struggling with sex. So that means he can't do without it. I'm looking at his soul. I want him to see God's face. And in order for him to see God's face, I have to put him in a situation where he could please God. He sinned because he wants intimacy. You understand what I mean? Now, with the disease situation, I don't know how I would have handled that. I mean, I'm being honest. I might have been one who decided that I'm just going to focus on the Lord. Without the disease, I thought about his soul. Adultery is ground for divorce, and the innocent, the guilty spouse can't marry again. But I can help him see God's face by keeping him and forgiving him and allowing him a chance to see God, because God gave me a second chance. So I've given him a second chance. I'm not perfect.
Right.
And I know his weakness because he is my spouse. And sometimes we get so caught up as wives, we are not positioning ourselves to give our husbands what they need when they need it, because we're so caught up doing everything else. So sometimes we set them up for failure and don't even realize it. So I'm not finding an excuse for him because he was wrong. You understand me? But I'm just saying, I'm looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. If he still loves me and I love him and he wants forgiveness, I'm going to forgive him. But listen, I'm not rushing into anything. If it's 6 months before God allow my body to connect back with him, he got to deal with it. But that's how I see it.
Right. But then just quickly here, I want to bring this in. And we got to take some of the producers are threatening me seriously. We've got to take some of these comments, and we're just going to give each one of you all maybe a comment, because we got to get through this. Let me just say this here right here. So, Ms. Elias, you're saying that you were looking at his soul salvation, and I clearly get you. I hear what you're saying. But you're saying that, you know, if you didn't do anything for a year, you think if you're looking at his soul salvation, you think he wouldn't be climbing some walls within that year?
You're not a man, so you really can't get. Listen. We're working together. I'm trying. It's not like I'm sitting there not trying to make effort. I'm trying. I'm maybe not where we used to be, but I'm on the road. I'm on that journey trying to get there.
Right.
You know, we still sleep in the same bed. We still, you know, have some intimacy, but it's not like it used to be, because you have to heal. Just like if you get a cut, that cut won't heal right away.
Right.
You're still limping. Well, it takes some time for that limb to come out of your leg. So you can't rush back into that stuff because you want this thing to be real.
We got you. I'm clear with what you're saying. We got to take some comments because we've got about 8 minutes before the show closes and they are threatening me. And here we'll take the first comment. Jack, we're going to throw this one out at you. This female writes in. She says, when it comes, I cheated on my spouse. The guilt, should I tell him or her? She writes in. She says, well, I did have an affair with a man who was also married. The affair lasted for 6 months, and it has been eating at me since then. I have thought about it several times to tell my husband, but fears he may leave me. I really don't know what to do. Jack, she says she doesn't know what to do, but she had an affair also with another married man. I guess that makes it where there's no demands, but still doesn't make it right. Jack, what do you think? She don't know what to do. What would you tell her?
I agree with you, what you just said, that it doesn't make it right, but I think if she really wanted to own up to her mistake and she really loves her husband, yes, she made a mistake, and that's happened, that's the past, so she should come clean and let the chips fall where they may, even if it means that he's going to leave because he can't bear it. He can't bear the fact that someone else has basically, you know, penetrated her, just for lack of a better word. Right.
Okay. All right. So if she can't handle it, you said move on then. Is that right?
If he can't
handle it, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then she won't know. She doesn't. She's not telling him. She doesn't know whether to tell him or not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She should tell him and let the chips fall where they may. She has to
fall
where they may. Because she had to get rid of that guilt. Because that guilt is going to eat away at her until she comes clean with it.
Okay. Well, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, Michelle, let's give you the next one. All right. This male writes in. Michelle, you're still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Here we go. Michelle, he writes in. He says, reference to cheating on my spouse, the guilt. Should I tell him or her? I think a lot of people cheat on their spouses and end up living with it and eventually divorce for some other reason anyway. He says, so what's the point in telling that, he says. What do you think about that, Michelle?
I think that's, you know, that's kind of a cop-out.
Okay.
I'm not in the position. I don't, you know, advise people on what to do. I think you should always, you know, try to do the right thing. But I think the reasoning behind it, like, that's an excuse and that's just a cop-out. You know, that doesn't give you the right just because divorce rates are high and you feel like everyone is doing it. You don't know everyone. I mean, you could make a lot of generalizations, but you don't know that. And that's not giving you, you know, carte blanche to go out and cheat.
Okay. All right. I tend to agree. That does sound like more of a cop-out. So if he's listening, you know, I mean, still, we're talking about tonight's topic. She's on my spouse again. Should I tell him or her? So I don't think it is everybody that goes out and cheat and end up divorcing anyway. Some people still stay together. All right, let's go right on. Miss X. Miss X, are you still with us? We're going to give you this next one. Miss
yes.
X, are you still with us? All right, Miss X.
Yes.
This male writes in. He says, I don't think cheating is right, no matter how you look at it. I think it still has an effect on your relationship or marriage, regardless of whether you tell them or not. That sounds like something that Miss Elias was saying, that, you know, it's the guilt and it's going to hurt the marriage either way. Do you agree with this, Miss X?
I don't think cheating is right, no matter what. But I do think that men have, I'm not going to say an easier time at confessing, but I will say at being the woman accepting his confession. Where women are concerned, I don't know whether I would tell a woman to confess to her husband because, you know, there may be some violence or something that may ensue. But
could she call him over the phone the next? Could she call him over the phone and don't come back? Could she just call him over the phone and say, I cheated?
Yeah, she could probably do that. But I think the reason why it becomes important, again, that someone should confess, or maybe you should just wait, I don't know, because somewhere down the line, let's just say one of those diseases pop up. Somebody's got to say something because it had to come from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's
maybe
not
they
say,
maybe some people lie, Ms. X, and they'll say, well, you know what? They say I went in for you know, to get a blood test, you know, where they just take the blood. I went to donate some blood, and it was probably that needle. What do you think, Ms. X?
Well, if he hadn't confessed to anything, that might be acceptable.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. Ms. Elias, we're going to give you another one. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the final one. Let's take about three more of these here. Let me see where we are now. This person writes in and says, comment. She says, I cheated on my boyfriend of 4 years. I cheated on my boyfriend of 4 years and did not like doing it. But I felt since he was not ready to get married, I felt it didn't matter anyway. I would not do it again, of course, because it made me feel bad. It just made her feel bad, Ms. Elias. I mean, you know, he wasn't ready to get married. So she's saying, does it make a really a difference?
But she wasn't ready to get married either. Because if she cheated because he didn't ask her to marry him, she's not ready.
Right.
Because, you know, marriage is not an alternative to cheating. Marriage
okay.
is a lifetime commitment. You have to understand what marriage is before you do certain things.
Right.
You know, my thing is you cannot, if someone don't ask you to get married, you just hop and go to the next person. You might be picking up trouble. You have to be very careful.
That
you
is
get to
absolutely.
Know that person first.
That is true. That is certainly true. All right, let's take this other comment in. Let's go to, we've got a couple more comments here. let's go to, oh my goodness, where are we now? All right, let's go to Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, this person writes in and says, you know what? I don't see anything wrong with cheating. It has made my relationship even better without me even having to tell my spouse. Ms. Blake, what do you say to that?
Interesting. I still feel that, hands down, that cheating is morally wrong and not acceptable. But however, this is just my opinion. It's okay to disagree. Sometimes it's just good to don't talk about it and move on. I've been in that situation where you both know he was cheating. You went out one night. You cheated. He didn't ask you where you were because he already knew. You went on. You just didn't talk about it.
Okay. All right. Let me Ms. Blake, really, that is very interesting.
Because it happens every day. And I don't want Bible workers to be like, oh, my God, how could they say that? It happens every day. Every day.
Well,
now,
so are you suggesting that maybe some of the Bible workers are doing it? Are you suggesting that some of the Bible workers are doing it?
No, I'm just saying sometimes we get on this, this is the way it should be, and we couldn't possibly imagine anyone would do it any other way, when the truth of the matter is it does happen other ways, and people do go on. Doesn't make it right, but it does happen.
All right. We've got only just a couple of more comments that we want to really take. Let me just take those comments here. She said, this female writes in, she says, my husband and I eventually divorced after he told me he had been involved with a woman for 2 years, and she gave birth. As I reflect on it now, this is an interesting one. She says, I'm going to read that one. My husband and I eventually divorced after he told me he had been involved with a woman for 2 years, and she gave birth. As I reflect on it now, I realize I may have contributed to him leaving because I constantly hounded him for nearly 2 years, as well as deprived him. Now I wish I had truly forgiven him and we moved forward with our marriage, but it's too late because we've divorced. Ms. Arias, let me take that one to you. Does that woman sound like she regrets having done that?
Listen, Dr. Walker, there are some wives that get so caught up in the professional arena. And
right.
Even some of them, when they're married, they don't disconnect from their single life. And they still want to hang out and do things they used to do before they take on a spouse. And they don't have that special time. Because, you know, when you meet somebody, you want to spend time with them. But then when you get them, you stop. And that's why you always time that you need to have with your spouse, especially when you have children. You spend all the time with the kids. And then when it's time for your husband, you go in there and he touch you and what happened? I'm tired. You can set your husband up. He's not a piece of furniture. And the number one priority for a man in a relationship is sex.
It's the number one.
That's number one.
That's number one. You've got this five comments.
He don't need to get married if you're not going to give him none.
Right, exactly. We're going to have you back on the show, Ms. Arias.
That's the number one priority.
That's the number one priority for him. It certainly is.
According to the Bible, you can do everything else. But when you get married, that's the purpose of my procreation. So if you marry this man and you're not giving, providing for him, because remember, a woman was made for a man.
Mm-hmm.
A man was not made for a woman.
Right.
Man was made for God's purpose. But we were made for him. And we came from him. So he don't know what it is not to be connected. So when you're not connecting with him, he looks for a connection. So this is why most men fall. Because we failed to connect to him. Because we were created for his connection.
I think we need to rethink this. But what if I was willing to give him the missionary position all day, every day?
You know, we need to have a whole new show because
I'm only going with what's in the Bible. The Bible says a man was made for his purpose, a woman was made for man. Now, you have some men, they don't care what you give them, they never get enough, and they don't want one woman, they want more than one. You have different people with different perspectives. But I'm saying,
But if I'm giving him the missionary position all day and all night, but he wants
to be alternative mind. He's one of them who just different. Because, you know, you have some people don't care what you do. You can't please them.
We're out of time. This last one, Ms. Blake, take us on with this last one. This female says, and we're out of time, you all. She says, I would simply say, if you truly love your significant other and he or she really is remorseful, then I would say forgive them and let it be a thing of the past. Ms. Blake, take us on with that one final thought.
Absolutely. You have to have forgiveness. The power of forgiveness not only frees the person, it frees the person who has been offended. You free yourself by forgiving.
Okay, on that note, we are clearly out of time. Thank you all so very much for joining us. As even the comments that came in that we were not able to get to, we do apologize for that. We're going to do a follow-up. Ms. Elias, we're going to find you out there, and we're going to ask that you be our co-host, our featured guest for part two of this. And we will be in touch, producers, we will be in touch with you to let you know when we will air part two for this, and we welcome you to be our featured guest. Those of you all that also contributed tonight, we thank you so very much. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us live again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until either this Friday or until next week, we say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.